Well, we should probably get it started with an M43 today, huh?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I got one myself.
Nice. All right, well, here we are, season 3, episode 23. We actually weren't planning on this one.
No.
We're gonna finish up with Christo last time, and then we're gonna do our season in review. But here we are, season 3, episode 23, and we got a pretty special guest with us today. None other than the King DMC. Welcome to Two Dudes and Killer Tunes.
What's happening? Thanks for having
Absolutely. One, we couldn't be more excited to have you here.
me.
I think we actually talked Friday to kind of seal the deal, and I'm still trying to figure out how we actually got you here with us, but we couldn't be happier to have you.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we were just talking beforehand, real quick. We had a very brief meeting, actually in May of 23 at Motor City Comic Con, MC3. And you were there with
MC3.
your DMC, Daryl Makes Comics, which happens to be right behind us right here. And I was there with my son. I love it. I think you said Todd McFarlane might have done the artwork for it or something too. But the artwork on your Daryl Makes Comics is amazing. But yeah, I met you that day, and it was about a month after I started this podcast. And I happened to catch you as you were walking back to your booth, and I had a poster of Run DMC and the Beastie Boys in Amsterdam. And you were obviously gracious enough to sign it for us, and we talked about Jam Master Jay and MCA and how neither one of them are here with us. We always kind of pouring out to the greats when we talk about them.
Yes, sir.
And no, but that was about a month into this, and I talked to you about maybe potentially being here with us one day, and you actually gave me your email address that day, 1 month in. And I remember walking away with my son thinking, oh my God, this may actually happen one day,
One
and here we are with you.
day.
I mean,
This
it's
is
definitely been a
the
grind, but if we would have had you back then, it definitely wouldn't be like we have you here today.
day.
So
So this is season three.
yeah, we are in season 3. We're just wrapping it up.
Oh, cool.
Yep, and we gonna be starting season 4 recordings in February. We're gonna take a little
Right
time off for the
on.
holidays,
Right on.
which obviously for decades, Christmas and Hollis has been a staple in our households every Christmas when it comes around, for
That's
sure.
insane. We never thought that would happen.
Right,
Because
right.
we just thought it was a record on the album with Whitney and Bruce for Christmas. Because we didn't want to do it at first. The only reason why we did it was like, well, because it was Special Olympics, but the only reason why we did it, they said we can make an original song. Because we're like, we ain't making Rudolph over, we're not making Santa. We like we didn't want to do no corny rap version of a Christmas song. But it was like, y'all can make your own song. We said, what? Okay. So Jay found the beat, one wrote his rhyme, I wrote mine. We never knew it would be part of Christmas traditions forever now. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that is crazy. Like, I mean, everyone knows that song now, and I mean it for generations to come will know that song.
And it proves Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
There you go.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Hell
I mean, I think it's been decided here, Neil. 100%. There's no
yeah,
more
Die Hard is a
even
Christmas
questioning.
movie. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my I found Run DMC when I was 11 years old.
Okay,
So I was born in
wow.
75, and for me, the first exposure was the Walk This Way with Aerosmith. And I did the math.
Oh,
Neil happened to be 8 at that time.
really?
But that
Eight.
was, like, for me, the very first time in my life where music, I made that first change on my own. I heard that. I saw that video on MTV. And not only did I learn what rap or hip hop and rap was, but I also learned about Aerosmith because I wasn't familiar with them at the time, even though they were an iconic band, so it was like this huge explosion of two things that then I totally immersed myself in. I mean, I remember, 80s hip hop with obviously the Beastie Boys, Biz Markie, Eric B., EPMD, KRS-One, and then went west with Too Short and then down with the Ghetto Boys and all that, and
All
NWA.
that.
So always followed that. But then I did follow Aerosmith and got into the earlier catalog. They happened to be my very first concert
Oh,
in
wow.
1990 when I was 15. And
Oh, wow. That was a good
oh my God, it was
one.
amazing. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts opened up. It was at the Palace of Auburn Hills where the
Wow.
Pistons played.
Yeah. Wow.
And I mean, I was obviously loved Aerosmith at that point, and I heard them play Walk This Way. And
Yep.
to me, that was like this whole moment.
Of
And
connection.
kind of goes to the point of the Killer Tunes part of our show, you know, where you're at a live concert and you just see that one song that just makes the night no matter what. And Walk This
Right.
Way was that. And I mean, that goes all the way back to you guys. So, you know,
Right.
obviously I've been a fan from day one. I know Neil has. And what was that like for you when you first were coming up? You know, obviously you have that exposure and that regional kind of everyone knows who you are, but once it blew up, what was that like? And taking it to all the different cultures, I would say, of the United States and everything.
I mean, it was for us, it was just like playing in your neighborhood on a global level. Like if like we didn't know we was going to turn into what we saw on Soul Train and American Bandstand. Because we just wanted to be the best DJ and MC thing. We just wanted Grandmaster Flash, Cold Crush, Funky 4+1, Afrika Bambaataa. We wanted them to say, y'all do what we created good.
Hell yeah.
But once it started going around the world, like Run always said this, to answer that question, Run always said, we don't know because y'all got the experience from DMC. We was just doing it. So, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh, we've done stuff. Like everybody kept telling us we was doing stuff. First to go gold, first to go platinum, first to uncover Rolling Stone, first with the sneaker deals. And we said, oh, okay. Just give us the mic, turn it on. So it wasn't like, you know, Run knew it was the record business because his brother Russell was managing Curtis Blow. Russ was managing Curtis Blow, Houdini, Jimmy Spicer. Russell was promoting and managing, so Run saw that there was a business to it. Me, we was just, I put it like this, we was just doing hip hop that we were doing in a park inside arenas. And people liked it, so we kept going, if you understand what I'm saying. But the motivation was to make the dopest records. I think, you know, Walk This Way isn't the first rock rap record. The first rock rap record is Rock Box, which was the first hip hop on MTV. That's 84. Then in 85, we did King of Rock with Larry Bud Melman at the front door of a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame museum saying, you guys can't come in here. This is a rock and roll museum. Then 84, Rock Box, 85, King of Rock, then 86, Walk This Way. Walk This Way wasn't originally going to be the way y'all heard it. We was just going to sample it and rhyme on it like we did in Rock Box and King of Rock. Rick Rubin suggested do the record over the way the band originally did it. Like I still remember my rhyme. It was just going to be the drum beat and the guitar in a like an 8-bar loop and then Jay scratching boosh. That, it was just a guitars, 8 bars, loop, eight drums, 8 bar. My rhyme was DMC and a place to be. I'm the best MC in history. There will never be an MC better than me. Started rocking stuff in 83. That's why they called me the King. Because it came out in 83. It's 86 now. And everybody was saying rap's a fad. Where you gonna be in 5 years? It's gonna die like disco. So we was going to do another record like Rock Box and King of Rock using their beat, their sample, because Walk This Way is a break beat that was in the DJ's crates, along with James Brown and Bob James and Jazz and all that. So Rock always had a presence in hip hop. Kool Herc used it. Grandmaster Flash used it. Grand Wizard D, all the DJs before Rapper's Delight. I'm talking about before we made rap records, when you came to a hip hop party to see what Running DMC and Jay got famous for, when you came to see that, the DJ was using these break beats. Walk This Way was one of the break beats. Tom Sawyer by Rush was one of the great break beats. We Will Rock You by Queen was one. So rock has always been used in hip hop, but nobody did it on records. But when we first started doing it, we was making original music, Rockbox. I mean, the only thing that wasn't real on Rockbox was the drums. But it was Eddie Martinez on the guitar, Larry Smith on the bass, Larry Smith on the keyboards. The only thing that wasn't real, even on Walk This Way, the only thing that wasn't real was the drums. Jay and Rick Rubin programmed the drum beat. So for us, it was, we wanted to do what hip hop is without changing it up because we're in the record industry. That's why Run DMC is the game changers. We didn't change our look. We didn't change, how we rap. Like, you know what I'm saying? We made It's Like That, Hard Times, and Message records. But hip hop to me, Run and Jay was doing what we did with Here We Go, Ba-Bam, Here We Go, and It's Tricky to Rock. Like, it was, you rhyme, you put the beat on. So, but when Rick suggested that we do the record over the way the band had did it, that had never been done before. Because every, like you said, Biz Mark, everybody sampled in hip hop and made original records, but nobody never redid an actual record. Instead of sampling, we just did it over. That was huge. So that was the game-changing thing to it. But like every time when we did Rockbox, we didn't even know what MTV was because MTV was only in Manhattan when it first came out. They didn't have it in Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island, the suburbs in there. If you had to live on in Manhattan, you had to be rich to have MTV in the beginning.
So even though it started in 81, it wasn't really accessible to everyone
To
for
everybody,
a while.
no, for a minute, because all that music for us was Saturday morning cartoons and then 12 o'clock Soul Train with the black guy Donya Cornelius. Then you stay in the house 1 more hour, 12 to 1 with Soul Train with the black guy. Then from 1 to 2 o'clock was with Dick Clark and American Bandstand.
For sure.
So when
So
we
I did the
started
same
doing
thing.
it,
I
yeah, no,
remember watching
every
Soul
kid
Train with.
did. Yeah. Every kid, you watch cartoons, and on Sunday, you watch Abbott and Costello. Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. Abbott and Costello meet Mr. Hyde. Like, every kid, white, black, Puerto Rican, we all had the same lives. That's what
Absolutely.
made hip hop so perfect. Cause we Wu-Tang with karate movies and NF Doom and DMC with superheroes, all the artists are products of pop culture. You know, most of the bands like Alice in Chains Behind You, they was inspired by Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And Kiss was inspired by, like, I hear Tom Morello and all these cats talk. They did the same, the punk rockers, hip hoppers, heavy metal kids, the art kids, the dancing kid, everybody did the same thing. So that's what allowed hip hop to get in the game. Because we use everything. Hip hop didn't invent anything, it reinvented everything.
There you
Right.
go.
So if we
Absolutely.
take in metal, if we take in hip hop, if we disco died, we brought it back to life. But we took the music is the soundtrack to everybody's lives.
Yeah.
So I
Luckily for
guess.
everyone, disco died when it did for a little bit. So Dre stopped doing that and got into the hip hop game a little more.
Well, in the beginning, we were disco.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
The Fat Boys was the Disco
The
Three.
Fat Boys. Yeah.
Oh, that was their original name. I did
That was
not
their
realize
original
that.
name. And on Jam Master Jay 84, we got the master of a disco scratch. Grandmaster Flash is the king of the disco mix. Because all we did was take disco out of Studio 54 and put it in the streets. But we jazzed it up. We was like, we ain't going to use their music. We're going to use the breaks and we're going to remake our own. We're going to create music with the music that was already made. But the whole idea with hip hop is the DJ play the music and you dance like they did. And the discos, all the hip hop didn't really get hip hop till probably after Run DMC.
Right. Right.
But prior to that, Grandmaster Flash, The Message, we were still calling our culture disco. But it was street disco. It
Right.
wasn't Hollywood disco. So then we got to a point where when hip disco died, we said, fuck it, let's just call it hip hop.
Definitely a good move. So the one thing I picked up on, and I kind of really liked it, was as you were experiencing it, like you said, you're just kind of doing it. You didn't really live it because we lived it through you, right? And that's one thing we do talk about when we talk to musicians or that is the two sides of it. Like you're the artist, but I know for a fact you love going to live shows and concerts and rock shows and everything else. One, do you remember like your first concert, your first show, and what is it about going to see other people live and that keeps you doing it?
When I was a kid, I couldn't go to concerts. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
The first live concert that I saw was actually Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, just because we was opening. That's real funny.
Hold
Because
that.
this was 80, this might have been 84, I think. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, we only had two records. We had It's Like That, Sucker MCs. It was our first singles. And Grandmaster Flash was huge because of The Message, so they were the headliners. But that was my first live concert. Prior to that, all I did was sit in my room, draw, and read comic books.
That's awesome.
So I didn't start going to concerts until I became one of the acts.
And do you
But
remember?
my music allowed me to, the first early concerts that I went to, Lou Reed,
Lou Reed.
ZZ Top,
We're big Lou Reed fans here.
Lou Reed, and this is only because I'm on the bill. This is what's funny about that. Lou Reed, ZZ Top, Marvin Gaye, Parliament Funkadelic, Compunction, the Barcades, the Gap Band. Who else did we play with? What's the guys? The guys from London. Oh, damn, what's the names?
Oasis? The Clash?
Ho,
The Clash?
Clash. Yep.
Oh my God. God,
Yep.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, so
Yeah.
one, you mentioned ZZ Top and Lou Reed. So
Yep.
I told you I went to Aerosmith as my very first concert ever.
Right.
My second concert ever was ZZ Top with the Black Crows opening up. And
Oh, that's
my
great.
third concert
Wow.
ever was Lou Reed in
Oh, get out
1992.
of here. So, oh, look at
And
that.
then actually me and Neil,
So,
I think it was,
so much in common.
oh yeah, insane. And I know you're a huge Doors fan, and we have our Forever Five. The Doors and Lou Reed are in mine, and we'll talk about yours, I think, in a little bit. But in I think it was 2003, me and Neil got a chance to see Lou Reed at at St. Andrews Hall in Detroit, one of
Oh,
the
nice.
smallest, really iconic venues. And oh my God, what it's one of my top concerts of all time. He was something special.
Yeah, we
And you know
opened for
what?
Lou
We got to
Reed.
pour one out for Lou, that's for sure.
Mr.
Mr.
Lou.
Lou.
So look, all of that stuff is in common anyway.
Oh yeah. And then like you were saying, we all kind of grew up around the same thing in that. And music all kind of grew from the same roots, whether it was like you said, rock or blues or everything
We
else.
all watched
You
the
took
Addams
it and you
Family.
just made a kind of a new branch of it, and made
Exactly.
it kind of made it your own and showed everyone the way and kind of
Well, we
helped them out.
connected everything. That's what Run
Connected. Yeah, that's a
DMC's
great way to
job
put it.
was.
Yep.
Because everything was separate. We connected everything.
That's
We
amazing.
knocked down the walls that were separating people the same way Steven Tyler knocked down the wall actually in the video.
Right.
I
I love
love
it. When
it.
you said that, that's the
That was
first vision
perfect.
I had was that wall knocking
Yep.
over here. And that's it. And I had the notes and I put the put hip hop on the map, which wasn't the right probably phrase, but it gave the exposure to everyone in the world at that point.
On Adidas, we said Run DMC's importance is this. We took the beat from the street and put it on TV for all to see. I was on Adidas. I took the beat from the street and put it on TV.
it.
And when people saw it, they realized, oh, the Beastie's a white Jewish punk rock group. Oh, we do that too. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I mean,
Rage
see.
Against the Machine, Tom Morello. Tom Morello said his whole life changed when he heard King of Rock. And Tom Morello's funny. I just played with him about a month ago at Irving Plaza in the city. He was funny. He was such a fan of what we was doing and the music. And he was like, oh my God, it's crazy to see these guys doing rock, you know what I'm saying, roar without any rules. But Tom was so funny that when we would come around or in the early years, he didn't want to go see us. And I was like, why? Because he heard from people that, well, this is funny. He heard from people that did go see Run DMC and said, yo, they're incredible, whatever. He couldn't picture it. How the hell they don't have a band? Like, he couldn't understand. He heard the records that didn't have, how the hell? So because we didn't have a band, because he's a magician, he didn't want to go see us because he thought it would ruin it. Like, he had no idea what it was till he went and saw, oh shit, they do it like, you know, Jake. But because, and I love this, the beautiful Tom Morello did not, he loved King of Rock. It was the best thing ever, but would not go see us only because he heard they don't got a band. But in his mind, so imagine, there's no videos yet, he didn't see it. He's trying to understand how the fuck do they fucking do this? I don't want to go see it, and they got tape recorders, and it's fake and phony. But when he saw that, no, what you heard on the record is how we do it with the records. It changed his whole perception.
Damn, that's
100%.
rad. That's
And, you
rad.
know, it's funny you brought that up because I've always been, you know, with the band, you know, anything can be good and blah, blah, blah. You brought up the Beastie Boys. The first time I saw them was in 92 in Kalamazoo, the night before Halloween it was. And Kalamazoo had a lot of shows.
oh yeah, it was in the old Wings Stadium, which is still going, but I heard it might be on its way out.
Wow.
And actually, Rollins' band opened up for him, Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins.
And the Lynch Mob with Ice Cube was first,
Yep.
Henry Rollins, and then the Beastie Boys to
That's the
finish
best
out.
show ever.
It
Wow.
was
Right?
amazing. And
What the hell?
it was like a road trip for me. I was a senior in
Yep.
high school, it was like 2 hours away. That's a whole different story. We'll get into a different time, hopefully. But it was an amazing show because it was in support of the Check Your Head tour. And
Right
obviously I
on.
had, you know, the other ones leading up, but that was the first time I heard or saw them play instruments. And then I got to see
Yep.
it live, and it was such a different experience. And I did get to see them a couple more times after that. I never got a chance to see Run DMC, unfortunately. My goal is that I'm going to see you doing something here real soon.
Yeah, with the new music,
But
I'll be there soon.
no, and that was where, you know, just I was always that if you have a band, you have this experience. But recently, it was a few years ago, I went and saw Tyler the Creator. And I think he is one, an amazing performer. He was in Little Caesars Arena, you know, where the Red Wings and Pistons play now.
Right.
And then I just saw him
Yeah,
again in
yeah.
July, and both shows, there wasn't one other person on the stage but him. And he totally took that
Right.
place over. He owned it those 2 nights that I saw him. And I kind of had that same experience that you just described, where
Yeah.
you're like,
Like,
how
how
is
is
this
this gonna
possible?
work?
You know? And I will
Right.
tell anyone to this day, if you get a chance to go see Tyler the Creator, go do it because it's going to be an amazing experience. And that's what I look
But
at
if
concerts as, are as experiences, not,
Exactly.
you know.
Yeah.
So
Yep.
that's an amazing story. I love hearing all kind of all the coming through all that and you know what people must have been saying about it when it was coming up. They said, oh, it's a fad, it's never gonna last, and here we are. I mean, it took over the damn world, man.
Right.
Love it. So one thing, obviously, you have a pretty cool connection with Jackal. That was one thing when we started, and I got started
Yes,
getting
dog,
online
yeah.
is
Yeah, I mean, do you do like
I play with them
festival or
often.
something every year or pretty frequently, or how'd that
No,
all
we do
happen?
shoot. Yeah, we do a lot of shows together. I was working in the studio, Jesse's studio in Georgia, recording for this other project, and I met his son, and his son was like, "Dad, DMC's in the studio." And Jesse was like, "Get the fuck out of here. What do you mean DMC in the studio?" So Jesse thought his son was lying. He came in the studio, and when I saw Jesse, I screamed. Because it's crazy. Before I flew down to Georgia to work in a studio, I'm channel surfing and I'm running this show. I come upon a show called the Full Throttle Saloon. And it's about bike week in Sturgis.
Okay.
And
Yep.
it's Jesse and it's Mike Ballard and it's the Full Throttle, the campus, and the whole 2 weeks of a million bikers from all, and it was just the craziest show ever. And I couldn't stop watching it. And this guy, Jesse, is like, first of all, Jackal's one of the best bands ever, probably top 10 performers in music, like really, really that good. Jesse is just this ball of energy and, Jeff and Rome and the band. Oh my goodness. So I fell in love with this show and I fell in love with this band Jackal. So he walks in, I scream, and he was like, "What's up?" "No, I was just, this is crazy. I was just watching your show." And then he's like, "Yo, I love Run DMC." So we that day we became friends, and he just says to me, this was like what, probably 10, 12 years ago, "I'm gonna bring you to Sturgis." And I said, "Okay."
Yeah,
And I
holy
went down to Sturgis. We
shit.
played Sturgis, and ever since playing Sturgis with Jackal 10 years ago, they always, "Hey, come on, meet me here. Meet me here." And we just do it.
Oh, that's
It's
freaking awesome.
crazy.
That is amazing. And so, again, after I had first met you, I start digging in and seeing what you've been up to and everything. And I saw that collab. You told me the day of Comic-Con that you were had just, I think, completed a collab with like Sebastian Bach and some others on
Yes, that's finally coming
Black
out
Betty.
January. That's coming out January 23rd. We did a reinterpretation of Ram Jam's Black Betty.
Nice.
So it's me rapping,
Ram Jam, hell yeah.
Sebastian singing, Sebastian Bach singing, Travis Barker on drums, Mick Mars from Motley Crue on guitar, and Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses on bass.
Duff.
It's the
Okay.
coolest thing you'll ever hear.
Okay,
Like, it's
so
just so fun.
I can't wait. One that I'm so glad that I brought that up because I remember that 2.5 years ago, and you told me you were doing the black, and all I could remember was it was Sebastian Bach, but I remembered it was a whole list of other like amazing artists. And I mean, so you have
Well, you
Blink-182,
know,
Motley Crue, and Guns N' Roses. I mean, Jesus, that
with
is
Skid
amazing.
Row and D Run DMC, like, you can't. And it's perfect timing too, because wars and politics and religion got the world all messed up again.
100
So it's the
percent.
music is the only music succeeds where politics and religion fails.
Me and Neil just looked at each other because I say it, we say it all the time. Music is the only
Like
thing that truly connects the whole world.
everybody, yes.
You know, and sports doesn't do it because I always say, I mean, sports is a good example, but then I say, well, if you're a Lions fan, go to Lambeau Field and watch them play against Green Bay and tell me how fun that is, right? Food is one where you can bring everyone together and have a great time. But, I always say a lot of times when you're doing that, you got music going
Yeah, it's
anyway,
music.
So music's the true connector of everyone. You go to a show, I mean, I went to Bourbon and Beyond this year for 4 days. The year before, I went to Lollapalooza for 4 days. You have hundreds of thousands of people, all walks of life, every corner of the earth, but you're all there for the same
All for the
reason. And it's
music.
absolutely amazing. Those have been eight of the best days of my life, to be
Yeah,
honest.
100%. So we were just like, the whole thing came about organically. Because originally, I did a sample version of Ram Jam's. We had the sample chorus, "Oh, Black Betty," sample beat, and then the producer, this hip hop R&B producer named Sonic was like, "D, you got to do this live because it's funny." He went to a football game, and at the football game or hockey games, you know, all sports things, they play music in intermissions and in timeouts. So, he's sitting there. We already did the record, and Motley comes on, Rage comes on, Blank comes on, Run DMC comes on, Skid Row comes on, a Queen comes. So he's sitting there and he's listening. And when Black Betty comes on, he goes, "We got to do this live." So I'm like, "Okay, cool." So we recruited Sebastian to do the vocals live. He was like, "Hell yeah, man, I'm with this. It's one of my favorite songs. It inspired me." And you know what I'm saying? And then when I ran into Travis, it was basically, "Yo, VMC, what's up? I love you, man. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Yo, Travis, you the greatest." And Travis just said, "If you ever need me to do anything for you." And I was like, "Oh, by the way, I have these." He said, "What you doing?" And he heard it. He was like, "Yo, I'm on it." And we said, "Oh shit." So we had me, Sebastian, and Travis. Then I went to this meeting for P Cologne. I wasn't going to do Cologne. I just like to take meetings and see what stuff these celebrities be doing, just to see, you know what I'm saying? So
That
we
is
in the meeting.
hilarious.
Wait, yeah, I just go. Like, there's a lot of
So,
stuff I won't do.
we're talking to DMC, but he's actually—that is the most normal person thing I've ever heard. I take a meeting just so I can see what other
See
people
what
are
these
up to.
celebrities are doing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I want to see what these celebrities be doing. So I said, "Okay, I'll take the meeting." And then I'm in the middle of the meeting, and the phone rings, and the lady's she's trying to be nice to me. "I'm sorry, DMC. I don't want to be rude." And I'm like, "You know, it could have been a husband. It could have been a son. I gotta take the call." And she was like, "Oh yeah, it's Mick Mars." I was like, "Take that call, right?" And she's on the phone. "Hey Mick, I'm in a meeting. I'm in a meeting with DMC." And Mick goes, "DMC, tell DMC I like him." And she goes, "Tell him yourself. He's right here." And then me and Mick, we start talking. We start talking about music. "Yo, we love what each other's doing." And we start talking about hat. Mick's go, "I like your hat." Because you know Mick wears a hat. And I was like, "Yo, Mick, I like yours too." And then Mick goes, "If you ever want to do something together." And I go, "By the way, Mick, I have this." And I said, he says, "Send it to me." So here's me, Sebastian, and Travis together. He says, "I'm on it."
Oh shit.
And he flew me out. I flew out to he told me, "Come to LA. I'm gonna make Nikki Sixx give us his studio and we'll do it there." So I fly to LA. Nikki Sixx shows up in his pajamas and the keys to the studio. "Here you go. Make sure you lock the doors when you're done." And then we had it. Then you know we everybody went their own ways. And then most recently, it was Sebastian was like, "All we need is a bass player." He was like, "Yo, I'm gonna call my friend up. He's in between touring right now." And I'm like, "Who's your friend?" "Duff McKagan." "Oh shoot." So he sends it to Duff, and 15 minutes later we had the whole track done.
Hell yeah.
So it was
That
just
is
one of
absolutely
it
amazing.
was just one of those things where it was more like we're kids, and you go, "What are you doing?" And you go, "Oh, I want to play. Can I come
Absolutely.
over and play?" And that's how it wasn't like your manager and a record and we going. It was just like, "Yo, that's what you're doing. I want to play." And that's
That's
how it came about.
how it should be, right?
Well, 100%, it came about organically. You know,
Exactly.
and to be honest, that's something that I've been huge about with our show in the first 2.5 years. Like,
Yeah.
we don't pay
Organic
for
is
ads, we don't pay
the,
for followers. We started doing what we did from day one. We go to concerts, we post videos.
just do it and you have fun. It'll go where it's
Right. And
supposed to go.
that was the main thing is number one, I knew Neil was my co-host from day one. Me and Neil actually met over 30 years ago at the University of Detroit Mercy because
Oh, right on.
we were both soccer players. So we played soccer in college.
Right on. The real
And
football.
so one, soccer players always rep Adidas if you actually
Yep.
are a true
Exactly.
baller.
No.
But yeah,
Yep.
so we met 30 years ago. I mean, have been going to concerts ever since. And yeah, so Neil's been my guy from day one with this, right?
And then made the mixtape that hence is the name of our show, Two Dudes and Killer Tunes. That was the name of our first mixtape that we
Oh,
made.
nice.
Two Dudes. It was just called
Yeah.
Two Dudes.
So, you know, it ended up one night, you know, we were partying or whatever, and act, you know, I'm like, fuck it at this point.
I'm divorced. I don't have a job as of the last like 8 months. It's been actually the best ride of my life with this whole thing. 2.5 years in, we got 1.2 million views on YouTube. We're sitting here talking to you, living my best life ever. And
It's fun.
absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And that
Yep.
was the main thing, is as long as we have fun, we're going to keep doing it. You
Exactly.
know, and if it turns into something, that's even better. But what it did was it took me out of like this dark place I was at. I was like deep in the depression.
Right.
Then I found music again. And I went to a concert. And I've been saying this forever. It was November of 22. It was Jane's Addiction opened up for the Smashing Pumpkins. Those are two of my favorite bands ever.
Oh, yeah, really.
And I went with my daughter. And it was like that night I had this epiphany that I need to do more of this and less of what I was doing.
Yep, that's
And that
it.
was where this whole thing grew out of. And
Yes.
then, early on, you're trying to figure out who you're going to have as guests. So I relied on old soccer buddies, a lot of high school friends, my family. But what I realized, it was bringing me out of this darkness, and I was
Right.
reconnecting with people. And then I started
Yep.
going to more concerts again. And then I'm talking to new people. And what I realized was, I'm coming out of this whole thing. And it was like this transformation. And the way you mentioned about you came together with these, three, four, five other guys. And the way I'm living my life now is positivity attracts positivity.
100%.
And that's what I've looked at you from the day I met you at Comic-Con. One, I mean, I hate to say it, you've been around for 40 some years now, and you look better now.
43.
Right. And you look
43.
better now than when I first met you when I was 11. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I didn't look that good back then, but I've lost like 50 pounds. And I,
Right.
you
Well,
know
when you get
what?
happy, it shows through
Oh,
everything.
yes. And you know what?
Everything.
And that's the greatest thing about all of this. It's all
Yep.
connected. Positivity attracts positivity. You have this amazing
Exactly.
Black Betty coming out in January.
It's called She Gets Me High.
Okay.
She gets me
That's
high.
awesome.
Yeah.
And one, I saw Travis Barker for the first time at Lollapalooza in 24 with Blink
Oh, nice.
182, and
Right
that was
on.
amazing because I'm a drummer guy.
Right
I'm a
on.
sucker for drummer solos. I've never seen Mick Mars or Sebastian Bach live, but I did see Duff with Guns N' Roses
Oh, nice.
at Ford Field when they first got back together, him and Axl and
Yeah.
Slash, the very
Slash.
first show of that tour. Holy
Yep.
shit, Neil was there
Yeah.
too. And
Yep.
you know what? I look at it this way, as our ex age, they sound different, this and that, but the feelings never change.
Right.
I just saw Paul McCartney at 83 years old. That man did 3 hour set, 36 songs, and had that place in the palm of his hand.
Wow.
And it was just an experience. But Duff
Yep.
is one of those guys that has been grinding forever. He's actually a Seattle guy. He's about as close to grunge as you can get
Yeah.
being there.
Yep. Yeah, he's from there.
And that's what I love hearing about you, is that you are so open to every single thing, and no matter who they are or what they are, hey, I can work with, like you
Right.
said, you're like a kid in the playground. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I want
You
to
want to
do
play?
it.
Sure, let's go out and
Yes.
do it.
Let's
You want to
go
play?
play.
So I want to know what
That's
you
what
got
life is
coming
about.
up. I know you got like
Yep.
the Daryl Makes Comics. That's where I first met you. I know you've been doing a ton of stuff since then. You got Cookies out now. I know
Yeah,
you're.
Daryl Makes Cookies,
And you're into like
DMC.
helping all of the community. You got the Hollow stuff and everything else. So what else is going on with you now?
Oh, everything.
Everything.
Yeah,
Anything and
I
everything.
mean, yeah, I mean, right now I'm gonna probably drop three singles before I drop the album America.
Oh shit.
The album's called America. Joan Jett is on there. Sammy Hagar, Chuck D, Ice-T. Yeah, the album's gonna be crazy.
So wait, one more connection. You just said Joan Jett. She was my
Yep.
very first concert ever with Aerosmith. Holy
Wow,
shit.
yeah,
That's
you just
amazing.
mentioned it. Yep. Yep.
What else you got
So
coming
they
up?
got the new music out. Daryl Makes Comics, issue number 4, should be ready by this year's Comic-Con season.
Okay, nice.
We just put out this book.
I did
It's
see this
called,
all over the
Daryl.
socials.
It's a holiday book.
Daryl's
It's the
Christmas and
first.
Hollis.
Yeah, Gerald's Christmas. You could go to Blue Balloon Books and get one of them, make a perfect gift. And then working on some TV, film, and Broadway stuff.
I absolutely love
Really?
it. You're like, the hardest working man in showbiz, right? It used to be James Brown. It's now DMC with Chris Brown.
Yeah.
And I love it, dude, because you know
Right.
what? You were a pioneer back in the early 80s, bringing everything you did to the world, and you've never stopped creating. You've never
I
stopped
just,
figuring how you can reinvent
right.
yourself.
I just played last night with Agnostic Front.
I saw that on
Oh,
Tune. That was
yeah.
amazing. I
Played,
saw the
yeah, played.
footage.
It was Vinny Stigma's 70th birthday. They played at Irving Plaza in New York City. I'm actually on their new album.
No
On
shit.
their new album, on Agnostic Front's new album, the song that we did, we got a video for it too. It's called Matter of Life and Death.
Nice.
Check it
Okay.
out. It's really cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I did see the footage of that. And you know what? All that did for me when I watched that last night, this morning, because you know what? It all bleeds together when you're just doing whatever you do, is you
Yeah,
are
it's
still the king of
crazy.
fucking rock, without
No,
a doubt.
you're
It's
rocking,
not even,
rocking.
not never been in question, but you've solidified
Yeah.
it again.
Rock and roll dreams do come true.
Absolutely. So the
Yep.
one thing we do always talk about on Two Dudes and Killer Tunes is
Yep.
our Forever Five.
Okay.
The way we describe it is you're on a deserted island, you have five bands or artists and a set of headphones and this, and you have their entire, like, say, Spotify catalog. So you search whatever, you know, for me,
Right.
my Forever Five is Lou
All
Reed,
right. Okay.
Smashing Pumpkins,
All
The
right.
Doors, Ben Harper,
Oh, nice.
and the Beastie Boys. So that's
That's your
my Forever
five.
Five.
What's your five?
So I have five: REM,
Wow.
Arcade Fire, Tom Petty,
Wow.
Nirvana, and the last one is The National, a band out of Cincinnati, New York area. But
So wow, that's your definite five. You can live
so,
forever. You could go through
well, so.
eternity just listening
Full
to that. Yeah.
disclosure, full
There's yeah,
disclosure.
there's small
So,
caveat.
it can, of course, it evolves over time, right? So, thank God
No,
I'm
right.
not, but mine originally also included Wilco and
But Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Crosby, Stills,
So,
Nash and
oh,
Young.
that's good.
And then
All
you got
right.
Neil Young too.
Right. So
So
that's the
over
other thing
time,
is
of course, it's going to change.
there's a little bit of a loophole, right? So I picked Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young because if I search Spotify, I get so many Neil Young songs that they might have played live or something like that. Lou Reed's another
Oh,
example. Like, not
yeah,
only
that
his single
mix.
stuff, I get all those Velvet Underground
Velvet.
songs.
Right.
So, but
Velvet
yeah,
Underground, yeah.
those types of bands that you can't live without, that it's tough to name five. So actually, one of our guests, we got to call him out because he is a huge fan of yours, Justin Dunkel,
Dunkel.
Right.
he came up with what he called his second line. Because in Detroit, we are hockey town for the Red Wings. You
Of
usually have
course,
line one,
yeah.
line two. So
Yes, got you at
what
five.
would you have
As
My
your
first,
top
my
five.
four, the top five.
Forever five.
AC/DC.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
In no particular order.
Yeah, AC/DC, all the live performances of the Cold Crush Brothers, one of the greatest hip hop groups ever.
Bull crush.
Wouldn't be no albums or cassettes. It would all be cassette tapes. Or cassette tapes converted to CD or digital of the Cold Crush Brothers. Put it like this: there would be AC/DC, all live performances of Cold Crush Brothers, whether it's on cassette, CD, vinyl, whatever form of media. Public Enemy first album.
Well, you get all of them, so just Public Enemy, which is
Okay, yeah,
amazing
Public
because.
Enemy. Oh, okay, AC/DC, Cold Crush, Public Enemy. What I could listen to over and over and over and over. Audioslave, Soundgarden,
There
Chris
you go.
Cornell,
There you
Chris
go. That's where you
Cornell.
get the, yeah, that's where you get
Yeah. So I would go Chris Cornell. Because if it's digital, you're gonna get all this anyway.
For sure, yeah,
Right? Absolutely.
All the audio stay,
We're
audio stay
going to
behind.
say that DMC's Forever Five includes Chris Cornell, because if I search
Yeah.
him in Spotify, you're going to get his solo stuff, you're going to get
Yeah,
Audio
all that
Slave, you're going to
stuff.
get
Yeah.
Soundgarden, and you are going to be the
Yup.
happiest man on that deserted island,
Oh, for sure,
DMC.
yeah. So I got one more. Well, Forever Five. And I'm just trying to think what I could listen to over and over and over. AC/DC, Cold Crush, Public Enemy, Chris Cornell. Oh, there's got it. What could I listen to over and over? Probably Rolling Stones.
Oh, nice.
I could listen to the Stones over and over and over.
So
Sympathy for the Devil, Jumpin'
that's my
Jack
favorite song by them.
That's too much.
Yeah. That's a good Forever Five. I could do,
Oh,
listen,
no, that's amazing.
those could keep me down for
I
eternity.
can't wait to let the world know what your Forever Five is. That's
Yeah.
most amazing. But
Yeah.
Sympathy for the Devil is my favorite song by the Rolling Stones.
Really?
100%. And actually,
Pleased to meet you. Yo, it's
you know, two
crazy. It's
bands
too
do
much.
a two different bands do an amazing cover of that. And
Oh.
it's in print as well. One of
Oh.
them is Guns N' Roses.
Wow.
The other one, which I actually have on CD, I think still to this day, is
Who?
Jane's Addiction.
Oh, really? They do it?
Yeah, they did it like way back in probably either late 80s, early 90s when they were
Oh,
first, I think,
really?
coming out. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
And Chris Chaney's playing with AC/DC right now.
Yeah, and you know what? And I thought of this earlier because I always see you in the AC/DC shirt, right? So, of course, I was not shocked when I heard that first come out of your mouth,
Yep.
but it did remind me of Guns N' Roses and Axl Rose. Because do you remember Brian Johnson
Yep.
had the ear tinnitus,
Yeah.
and they told him actually at the time that he'd probably never sing again ever.
Again.
But the whole
Yep.
tour was announced, and Axl stepped in
I
to
remember
fill
that.
the
Yep.
void. And
Yep.
one, I thought it was the most amazing gesture by him. But I also remember watching all those videos because I mean, I think everyone's dying to see how Axl was with AC/DC.
Yep.
And what I saw was a guy that really kind of did a great job filling the void, but also stepping back and letting the group take the
Be the
entire
stars.
spotlight.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you always hear
Yeah.
the negative side about a lot of artists, and Axl's definitely one of them, and I'm sure he deserves a lot of it. But when I saw that, to me, that was like a really cool gesture.
Oh, for
And then to
sure.
see Brian Johnson back with them this last year touring with
Killing them.
AC/DC. Did
I
you go and
know.
see them this last
No,
time?
I'm going to see him when they come here this summer.
Oh,
Oh,
nice.
right on. They come to Giant Stadium.
So, you know what I was thinking, Neil, is we've never seen AC/DC before. I want.
Yeah, I seen them 2010 at Giant Stadium.
No shit. So
Yeah.
one of
But
the
I
big.
gotta go see. I do a lot of shows with I do a lot of shows with Dave Navarro and Chris Chaney with the Royal Machines.
Royal
Really?
Machines. Okay.
Yeah, the Royal Machines, it's Billy Morrison, Steve Stevens, who's amazing.
Steve
Wait,
Stevens.
Steve
Yeah.
Stevens is amazing.
Steve's, everyone knows Steve Stevens, the big black hair, the
Yeah,
guitar, just going
guitar,
nuts,
yeah, he's
man.
amazing. So I played with the
Absolutely.
Royal Machine. Mark McGrath is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Shpigaray.
Mark
Fuck
McGrath's amazing.
yeah. DMC
Yeah.
Clever's everyone. It's
I
amazing.
know. Yeah, I hang out with all the rock stars. It's so cool.
So. There's no way that we cannot stop without talking about our Jackal experience, right?
Okay.
So I mentioned me and Neil went to college at University of Detroit, but we had a lot of friends that went to Western Michigan University,
Yep.
which is Kalamazoo,
yeah,
2 hours.
Kalamazoo area. So a
But
bunch of us, you know, we'd converge there, we'd party all weekend, right? Well, we
right.
found that was when we actually found Jackal. It was probably about 93, no, 95-ish, somewhere in there.
Right.
And the song Lumberjack.
Yep.
And we're like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So Every time we all met there and just partied our ass off for the weekend, whoever woke up first every morning after partying the night before, it was their responsibility for finding the Jackal CD, putting it
Oh,
into the
and
huge
playing
CD
Lumberjack.
player, putting Lumberjack in and cranking it as loud as it could go. And then we would
Wow.
all get up, we'd immediately get fucked up and have like
Again,
another great, amazing
for
day.
sure.
And then
Yep.
it would start all over the same time. We did that probably
Yep.
like six, seven, eight times.
Yep.
And it's so funny because it's
That's the
another
whole
way to
spirit of
kind of have that
Jackal. Right?
connection.
Life's a party.
Right,
Yeah.
100%.
Friends, family, life's a party. No, like Jackal's amazing. They're black
Music.
people, fucking Puerto Rican people, Jamaican people. Jackal, oh, Jackal's amazing. You know what I'm
No, so
saying?
there's two
They
things
got it. I love this song. My cocaine, my moonshine kicks your cocaine's
that
ass.
my child
My
kicks my
moonshine kicks
cocaine's ass.
your
All right.
cocaine's ass.
Well, I
But it's
have to
like,
bring it up. It's the elephant in the room, right? Because we heard Lumberjack, right? And
yep.
then the very last song on that CD is She Loves My Cock. And we're like,
Yeah.
what the hell is this? We put
No,
that
it's
on. And then,
crazy.
of course, then we're like, oh my God, this is like, these guys is what
Yep.
our alarm clock is forever.
Exactly.
But you
Yep.
know what? We
Because
joke about it.
what's good about Jackal is it's like Reverend DMC at Christmas time. At Christmas time, Jamaican people, Jewish people, Muslim people. D, guess what we're going home to listen to? So it's not about the Jesus and the stuff that's different. It's about what's the same. Okay, all the
Right.
different cultures have different music, different clothing, and different dress. But at a festive occasion, whatever, holy one, national one, is food, fun, and music. So that's what Jackal represents. That's what Christmas in Hollis represents. That's what Run DMC represented. It's funny.
That's what Two Dudes and Killer Tunes represents. That was the whole point of
Exactly
this whole thing,
right.
is everything you just
That's
talked
why when
about.
you ask me, can we drink? Y'all can drink whatever you want. I don't
Yeah,
drink
I always ask because you
anymore.
never know anyone in their
No.
story. Just want to make sure it's
Right.
respectful.
Oh.
But
Exactly.
you know
But
what?
see,
No
that's
problem
the
drinking.
key. Right. But that's the key to all of it.
Right,
That's
absolutely.
why, you know. I don't really care about politics, you know, to paying attention. Just live your happy life and do good.
Right. Yeah, don't
And
be a dick.
none the decisions the government make only affects you if you let it.
100%. And you know
You know what I'm
what?
saying? Don't get all
Hell
party.
yeah.
You know, pay attention. Of course, you got to know who's doing what. But yo, your life could be beautiful if you just love yourself and love other people. You'll get everything that you want and just pay your fucking taxes. Just shut up and
100%.
don't be worried
Pay
about
your taxes
like
is a
the
number
one.
one. But you know
Yeah.
what? I'm really glad you touched on that because that jogged something in me. And actually, it's
Yeah.
MCA. I mean, that guy, when you think about like where he came up, and at a certain
Yeah.
point, he's just like, you know what? I want to do better. I want to be better. I want to try to help change the world through what I can do, which is music and just
Yeah.
positivity. And
Right.
I always say he was my favorite Beastie Boy.
Right on,
100%.
yeah.
From day one, just because I loved his
His
voice and all
voice,
his
yep, his
rhymes and all
voice,
that.
yep.
But people always talk about celebrities and oh my God, blah, blah, blah. First of all, one, we're sitting here talking to you, and it's like we've known you for 30 years and
But
we're
I
just
always go,
hanging out.
I always go, don't call me a celebrity. That is something I could never be. I am you and you are me, and that's the way that it is
Right.
for eternity.
Yeah.
And that was the way you made me feel at Comic-Con. And
Right.
that's why I was like, you know what? I was totally confident coming in here, this and that.
Yep.
MCA.
But with MCA, that was the one celebrity I'll say that actually hit me, when they're gone.
Yep.
And my other life, I traveled a lot for work. I had wife and kids, and I remember I landed, and first thing you do is you check your phone or do whatever. And it was actually I started driving, was on the radio, and I
Right,
heard
MCA
MCA had
passed too.
passed.
I was like, what?
No shit. But the thing was, is I already knew it couldn't have been good because he missed the Hall of Fame induction ceremony and they read his letter, which was so emotional. But I remember hearing that in the drive, and I'm going to shout out Buddy's Pizza, one of our local Detroit pizzas, like that started in the 40s. I'm
Shout out
driving
to
there to meet
Buddy.
my family after traveling for work for a week. Missing them, I'm already emotional, and then I hear that, and I remember waiting for them in this booth, sitting and just crying uncontrollably for MCA. I'm like, I've never met this guy, and people are like, oh, he's a celebrity, or he's,
A
and I'm like, no, he was, you know what? I hate to
person.
say it, he's someone. As I've been going through this last year, I've looked at, I've listened to the Beastie Boys. How can I be better? I mean, I got divorced, I lost 50 pounds, I was this, I lost my job, but how do I become better and help spread that positivity we talked about earlier? And that guy right there is one of those people that I look at. It's one of those people that, you know what, I still cry when I think about it or I hear him. And it's one of those things because, I mean, and this is a selfish reason, but damn it, I'm never going to get to see the Beastie Boys ever again live. I'm never going to hear new music by them again because the Beastie Boys without him is never the same.
Right,
And
of
I know that's the
course.
same with you guys without
With
Jam
Jam Master Jam,
Okay.
exactly. That
That's
band
it.
is
When
done
you
with.
wrote up here, I'm going to read to you what you wrote on this. First of all, it says DMC, Raising Hell Together Forever, which I loved. But JMJ, MCA, RIP. That was it. We talked about it as me and you walked from talking with the Swedish chef, who is my favorite Muppet, all the way to your booth when we talked about that. And you know what? It may sound corny or whatever, but I felt like I made a connection with you that day. And you know what? There was in my mind, and I've told Neil this from that day moving forward, you would be here one day. We'd talk about this. We'd talk about these experiences. And together,
This
we'd
is
spread this
it.
positivity.
Exactly.
And now, one thing I'm going to suggest that we do moving forward as a collab, because I mean, come on, I'm also like Gene Simmons, right? I'll try to get my name out there doing anything, right?
Jeez.
But you mentioned what show's coming up that you're going to in Jersey, I think it was.
Giant
New
Jersey.
Jersey. In
Oh,
Jersey.
AC/DC show.
So the AC/DC show. So the one thing that we love doing on Two Dudes and Killer Tunes is going to concerts. Me and Neil, especially when bands we've never seen before, and doing tailgate episodes.
Oh, nice.
I'd love to go to that show with you this summer,
I
do a
gotta make sure
tailgate
I'm here.
episode.
I gotta make sure I'm here. I would do it for sure.
Percent.
If
We'll
I'm
check you
here, if y'all come and I'm here, I'll come on your
Okay.
show.
All right.
So we're going to make this happen. And
That's
I'm going to
easy.
say, even if it's not even in Jersey, wherever we can make it happen, we're going to. And that's my job.
Okay.
But no.
So what, y'all do live broadcasting from places?
actually, we'll go there. We'll set up like this. We can, when since we are the garage
Oh,
band, the pod.
you'll just do the podcast from a
Yeah, we
location.
do
I
like
got
we'll
you.
set up in about 10, 15 minutes. We start tailgating. We hand out free beers and water. People walk by. We'll say,
Interview
"Hey, do you want to be on a
people. Oh, yeah,
podcast?" We'll
exactly.
talk to them. They're like, "Why are you here? Why do you love this band? What's your
Talk to
favorite
the
song?"
fans, yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, even this episode, we'll do very minimal editing. It's like the in and the out because we like to keep it as live as possible. That's what we talk about, live concerts, you know? And so
All right,
we kind of
so
put it out there, warts and
if
all.
I can go, all right, if I
Sure.
can go, we'll do that.
100%. We'll figure it out.
DMC, thank you.
Yeah,
All right, thank
100%. Thank
you.
you.
Hold on, let me just
Okay, yeah,
yes,
well.
January 23rd.
Yep.
Everybody, spread the word. She Gets Me High. Sebastian Bach,
Love it.
DMC, Travis Barker, Mick Mars,
Nick Myron.
and Duff McKagan doing fun stuff for the good people so people can be happy.
One hundred
That's
percent. Well,
the whole purpose of that, because we were so happy that we got together and did it.
I love it.
And this will be
Yeah.
coming out on December 30th, which
This
is right in
episode,
time
oh,
for your new
perfect.
year, right before the drop.
Perfect.
We're gonna hit it hard. I can't thank you enough, DMC. This has been completely amazing.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but if I died tomorrow, it would probably be I'd be they'd still be the happiest guy ever because you
Well, no,
have
yeah, if you
helped.
die tomorrow, you're going to do what the Rolling Stones are going to do. When they pass away, there's going to be another tour because they're going to come up out of that grave and go on the road.
No, 100%. And you know what? The daughter I went to that Jane's Addiction Smashing Pumpkin show, I've already told her the second I go, you're carrying the torch. Neil's still the co-host. And
Now you're gonna be sitting there with
it's going
Neil.
on for generations, you know,
For
and all our
sure.
kids are gonna fucking enjoy it just
They're
like
gonna
that.
have to fill in. Just keep the seat. Keep filling in the seat. Exactly.
100%.
And my man Daryl Mack dressing all black.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Appreciate it. Love
So
it.
yeah. Tell people that's listening, go to get Agnostic Front, check them out. The new album, Matter of Life and Death, I'm on it. And life is good.
Thanks,
Awesome.
DMC. We love it.
So that will be the end of the show.
Okay.
But oh my God, that was amazing. Thank you for
Thank
joining us,
you. No,
DMC.
this is so cool.
Thanks, bro.
It was awesome. I think we all just heard the alarm. Somehow we timed it out perfect.
I'll come back home when the album drops.
It's
Hell
almost like we knew what we were doing, you know what I mean?
yeah. Well, that's how it works. Yes.
Hundred I think
percent.
it just
Yep.
fake it till you make it means something, but you still got to
Exactly.
know what you're doing a little
Well, no, that's when I go to speak to
bit.
kids at schools, pretend. Pre means before. So whatever you're pretending to be, you actually are that you are it.
Love it.
But you're so busy thinking, I gotta pretend to be this because I'm not. No, the reason that you're pretending in the first place, that's the universe telling you you are it.
Yes. Right.
So
It's
we
like
was
the imposter
pretending. We
syndrome.
was pretend. Yeah, exactly. We was pretending to know what we was doing because we did.
And you know what?
That's
You know what the
right.
best part
Yeah.
was? Is you
Yeah.
guys were like the fucking first ones. So
Right
no one knew if
on.
you were pretending or not.
Exactly. Yep. Right
By the time they
on.
figured out, you were still killing it, right? Because you were so
Yes,
fucking
sir.
good. So
Exactly.
you had the backup. You know, that's what I always say to Neil. You're 100%, you're genuine. You have good content and you're consistent. You're going to have the following just because you have that aura around you.
That's good. You guys too.
Be present. Yeah,
Absolutely.
be present. Thank
I'll see y'all at the tailgate.
Hell yeah. Not only
Right
that, hopefully we'll see it MC3 in May. Who knows?
on. Yep.
All right. Thanks. Really
I'll see y'all
appreciate
later.
it.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you,
All
bro.
right. We'll see you.